Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG tonight. The totality is coming. The moment at which the combined hoeing activity of all crack whores on this planet is surpassed by the capacity of whoring of AI. We have achieved it, ladies and gentlemen. Someone was asking, that's a real photo of a real woman, right? No, it is not. Of course, we've been reviewing on the show these pictures generated by AI of perfect females. We have this. They often come out like this. Overly big boobs. Their eyes are kind of... vegetative eyes in this case, like there's something wrong with the eyes here, or they're really, really perfect eyes like this one. But that is what we get when we reach the totality. And this morning I had a thought that has led to a tweet of 1.2 million views. And I'm happy because I'm about to get the Elon Musk favor treatment of being paid for my tweets. But I've seen it enabled now in my account, but I cannot enable it as long as I don't have 15 million impressions per month. But on a regular month, I'm doing between 3 and 8 million impressions across my Twitter career. So I basically have to double. I have to double my exposure. And so you're going to see me tweet more and more provocative stuff with the goal of reaching that 15 million mark that Elon Musk has set for me. I think it's way too much. I think you should also reward smaller creators. I don't mind being rewarded less. Just reward me less, but you should allow small creators to grow on Twitter. But anyways, you know, Elon Musk has set a standard. I have to reach 15 million views. And when you get just one tweet with 1.2 million, that starts me very well for this month. So I might get there. I might get there very quick when you include all of the replies, all of the videos that I publish on there. We might get there this month or in the next few months. Not that I need the income of Twitter, but I think it's important to be within the monetized portion, because at some point these CEOs of of social media, they eventually decide, all right, if you're not monetized, you're not worth anything to me, and so I'm not going to send viewers your way anymore. You know, eventually they are stuck with, do I optimize the algorithm for the monetization, or do I optimize it for the people? And I want to be in that circle of monetization. That's what Coach Red Pill had one day explained. I don't mind that much about the opportunity to make money from the ads on YouTube, but I care about being, being in the circle of monetization of YouTube, so that YouTube doesn't you know, pigeonhole me, puts me, not pigeonhole, but puts me in the back of the algorithm and forgets about me. That is the goal of monetization. And it seems that with this gigantic tweet of today, I will be able to get there. So what I was saying is, I found myself actually, that was an actual reaction as I woke up this morning to Savannah Hernandez. She was tweeting these AI-generated woman, and she said, AI needs to be stopped. And I was looking at the boobs of the woman, and I was like, the idea that this should be stopped can only emerge in the mind of someone who feels threatened by this new signal. I was like, why is it? Because Savannah Hernandez, I don't know who she is, but I think she's some kind of political commentator, perhaps even opened to some right-wing talking points. I was like, how is it that looking at the boobs of these AI-generated women, how is it that Savannah Hernandez wants them out of the public space, I would want more of this. I would want infinite AI-generated boobs. And then it launched me to the conclusion, AI-generated boobs is stealing from the opportunity of actual females to live off e-tottery. So what we are seeing here is a competition that's coming in against biological women, but it's a competition that's all good. Because it competes with something that women shouldn't have been doing in the first place. It competes with a purely deceptive signal. E-tottery and OnlyFans is purely deceptive. It's purely the recruitment of your visual attention, which would normally be aimed at making babies, and it's taking it and absorbing it and not giving you the babies back. So it's a complete theft. So if AI can come in and compete with biological females on something that is deceptive and theft and bad for society, I'm all for it. Because what happens when you have competition where, look, if you want to look like this as a biological woman, it's a lifelong struggle. You have to never eat a Big Mac. You have to stay healthy. You have to basically control your nutrition at every moment of your life. You have to work on your makeup every morning. There is so much involved here. You have to have your hair tinted in blonde on a regular basis. The amount of work is basically a lifetime commitment to look like this if you're a real woman. If you're the AI, it's as easy to generate this picture as it is to generate the picture of a fat woman who's ugly. So I find it absolutely beautiful that AI comes in here, because most of the time I object in AI taking the place of humans in decision-making and genetic transmission and all sorts of things. But if we can give to AI the dirty work that should never be held by a natural human being, I think it's a good news. And so I said, here's the white pill of the century. As AI becomes better and better at imitating female beauty, the e-thought signal is losing its visual attractiveness because it is competing with an infinitely capable opponent. Long-term result, women are forced to get away from deceptive e-thought signals and toward competing with their loyalty, reliability, and potential for true baby-making. AI thoughts may just be the saviors we needed. I think that's a potentially a very impactful contribution of AI to society. Men will not be amazed anymore at viewing boobs on a screen. Or if they are, they will have a super cheap option such that, you know, the AI can do it for 1 cent a view. And the AI will be viable. And eventually the AI will give you the whole video, even the chatting woman. They will generate the video talking woman in full. And it will be able to do that for cents, while the real women are a little uglier, a little more costly, a little more everything. And eventually, we might be totally kicking out e-tottery from our society. Big Tech Exodus says, to what extent is e-tottery responsible for declining reproduction? I suspect not much. I don't think that you have to see e-tottery itself and its effect on males as depriving the males of a path where they would have had babies. But look at the effect of e-tottery on the relationship and look at the effect of e-tottery on females. And then you'll discover that the traditional way to look at the problem of porn is reverted. It seeks to put everything on the shoulders of the male. And it goes as follows. Usually, someone who's conservative or will object to porn will say, Well, you know, instead of watching porn, you should go out there and meet real females, because now you are on your computer developing unrealistic expectations about females, and you are depriving yourself of real contact with real women in the real world, and that reduces baby making. That could be the traditional argument. But the reality is that porn carriers take away quality women from the market and throws them in an environment of abuse where they won't be able to ever be, even after their career, to ever be a reliable wife. That is what's happening with porn. And it does have an impact, in my view, on reproduction, but not in the way most people think. Not because it takes the attention of incels away from the real world, but because it takes the attention of women who could have become quality women given a little bit of education, and it throws them into a lifestyle where they are not productive at all. They are just sending deceptive signal to millions of men, and there's not a single man who ends up having a stable relationship with them because they are broken in their brain following this kind of exploitative environment. Exploitative of themselves, of course. They are the first to exploit their own body. Firestarter says, banking has nothing to do with skills or services. It's about power. Okay. John Gora says, maybe the robot took out JF at this point. Maybe I've already been replaced by a robot. There was a girl. I love when these girls, they are critical in public, but then they come to you in DM. I love this. And I love my new life where I'm not looking for a girlfriend and I just don't give a shit. Like, I love being a total asshole. Of the worst kind. I love that I have this freedom now because my pressure has been relieved. I don't have to act decent anymore. I don't have to consider every female who approaches me, as a potential mate. And, oh my God, maybe I should put out the best image of myself out there. I just don't give a shit. And so here's what happened. This girl is critical of my... By the way, there's lots of women critical of my AI tweets. They don't get it at all. Like, if you are a decent woman, you should be relieved by my theory. You should say, all right, that would be good, right? Where we're going to get the tots away and we're each going to get a mail for ourselves and we will end the system of deception where 1 million men are looking at one woman. That would be desirable for most women. But no, some women are pissed because they feel some misogyny in my tweet, which doesn't exist at all. She was saying, man claims that woman will have to compete for him as loyal baby makers because we now won't be able to visually please him with all these smoking hot AI JPEGs around. Sad face. So I was like, okay, I know that she's saying it in a kind of sarcastic way and, oh my God, how can he argue this? But I was like, hey, that's my argument. That's a fair representation of my argument. That's exactly what I mean. And so I retweeted her and I liked her tweet. Now she comes to me in DM and she says, lol. Thanks for letting me give that post a hard time. I do think it will be really interesting to watch how AI changes human sexuality. And so I was like, okay, a hard time? I didn't feel that she gave my tweet that much of a hard time, to be honest. And so I was like, I don't think you've been very hard to my tweet. You've been trying to attack me, but it fell short, really. So I said, Nothing is hard here other than my dick in front of such perfection. And she answers, what? And I was like, I'm talking about the AI images. Oh my God. I was prepared for that comeback. I knew how that discussion would go, and I was like, I'm going to make her believe for a moment that my dick is hard for her, but I'm going to pull it back immediately. Oh my God. Hopefully she's not too insulted. She did write what in all caps. But of course, I was not talking about her. I was talking about the AI images. Hollywood starlets face extinction as sexy AI influencers invade social media. The proliferation of scantily clad AI. And Real Base Talk says, I would not expect that of you, JF. But see, I don't give a shit anymore. You're gonna see an unleashed JF, because I can spend the rest of my life without having the respect of a single woman on earth. I don't care. I could undress myself, walk nude around the studio. I could say fuck you to everyone. I don't give a shit anymore. I am totally unleashed and unbound at this point. I don't give a shit. I've had what I wanted from life. A family, love, children. At this point, I'm a dark JF rising. A little bit like Joe Biden. Hollywood starlets face extinction as sexy AI influencers invade social media. The proliferation of scantily clad AI-generated social media influencers is a wake-up call for striking Hollywood writers, actors, and other creators. I mean, look at this. This is going to be unachievable at some point. The AI will just master beauty in ways that female just can't reproduce. Absolute destruction coming. I love it. Real Base Talk says, I am still polite when speaking to a proper lady. Yeah, but first I wanted to make a sarcastic reference to the fact that, okay, there's this competition between real woman and AI woman. So I'm going to embed a sarcastic remark about it into my joke to her. And also, I go by the Satanist principle. And I'm not a Satanist, but when I look at the Satanist principles of LaVey, of Anton LaVey, I agree with a lot of what's in there. And one of the principles is you never speak to someone without them initiating the conversation first. And then when they do, it means they have consented to your next sentence. And so there she was, you know, I only retweeted her tweet. And there she was in my DM, la 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 la, ha ha ha. Thank you for allowing me to criticize you. It's like, I wanted to give a pushback to all this talk, all this small talk. And I wanted to somehow insert my dick in the conversation, just just so she knows it's on the table, you know. I'm pretty happy with my interaction there. Believe it or not, doing this again and again, you will get more offers from females than not doing it. So it's like at this point, I'm just throwing it out there. If you would like to support the show, use the dollar button under the Odyssey chat. Odyssey Super Chats are my favorite platform to receive support for the show. Alternatively, feel free to use Entropy. The link to Entropy is in the description below. And Hall has sent a super chat on Entropy. He said, walk naked around the studio, let's do it. I won't do it because I don't want to do it. But my point is I could do it. I could do it, and there would literally be no consequences for my life going forward. I don't mean to show a respectful image of myself anymore. I don't need to charm a female. I don't need to pass as normie in front of women. I have everything I've wanted from life. There we go. I've reached success. SEC chair Gary Gensler pivots agency's attention to AI. We can get to crypto later. The SEC chair called AI the most transformative technology of this generation and stressed the need to prepare for its influence on financial markets. According to reporting from Bloomberg, he is downplaying its focus on cryptocurrency to direct its attention toward artificial intelligence, a technology that he says warrants the hype. Gensler, who has been confronting an industry he claims is replete with scams and fraud in cryptocurrency, is now training his attention to AI, a technology he regards as the most transformative of this generation. Mass automation can have cascading implications for trillions of dollars in assets that trade on markets overseen by the SEC. Okay, so it's going to be a specific look at AI in terms of its potential impact on the economy. But I'm happy that he's leaving off his attention away from crypto, because I want to see development in the crypto sector. And I'm not seeing it enough. I want to see more. I want to see quicker. We had a promise of the blockchain freeing a decentralized view of everything on the internet, and I don't think we're quite there. And I want to work to see that happen. See a world potentially where even web hosting will be seen as backward, will be seen as another era of the internet. We have the blockchain, we have a public ledger, we have a public virtual machine, and it's barely being used. It's just being used to transfer shitcoins and ETH and BTC and a couple of ape pictures. We can do more. Barnabé Buteau says he wants to save the tots, JF. Oh, yeah, so Gary Gensler going after AI. Maybe he masturbated a little too long to this picture, and he's like, we can't let this happen. This has taken way too much of my time. This is dangerous for the markets. I don't know. He may have his private motivations, his private love stories with AIs. Barnabé Buteau says more revenues from OnlyFans than with crypto in the past 18 months. Well, the thing is, crypto is flat and toward the down direction in a bear market. So I still think that crypto is much better, much bigger than OnlyFans long term. Stephen Robinson says, Gary pivots to AI as a result of pushback from the X community. Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know what will happen with this lawsuit with X, but if Richard Hart cannot be found to have done something illegal, then I don't know that anything can be found to be illegal, because holy shit, was that a shaking of funds that was, as we say in French, not Catholic. It wasn't Catholic what Richard Hart has been doing with those funds. I'm sneezing a little bit. I'm feeling the sneeze coming, but it's not coming. The New York Times says Elon Musk actually has the nerve to support calls for genocide. If ever there was a time to cancel that publication, it is now. You can read their articles for free anyway using removepaywall.com. What? Elon Musk using his Twitter to redirect people toward a copyright infringing website? What the fuck is this? I didn't expect this from Elon Musk. I mean, this could put him in trouble, couldn't it? The New York Times could sue Elon Musk for millions of dollars, saying, hey, he's just stealing our user base and sending them toward illegal copyright infringing websites. Now, that being said, he was commenting on a very bad title by the New York Times, Kill the Boer, Song Fuels Backlash in South Africa in the US. It's like, people are annoyed at this particular song. Learn one what it says. Well, it's a song that appeals for the genocide of white people in South Africa. Right-wing commenters claim that an old anti-apartheid chant is a call to anti-white violence, but historians and the left-wing politician who embraces it say it should not be taken literally. Well, the problem is, no matter what is the source of a statement, it may have this history before the apartheid. But now if you sing this, and you're doing this while white people are getting killed at unacceptable rates in South Africa, then, and you are chanting death to them and death to them, it seems that sometimes the meaning of a song can be acknowledged to have changed. A meaning of a song is not tied to its historical source. A song doesn't carry the fundamental motivation of those who wrote it. It may carry the fundamental intentions of those who now sing it, which may be different. Brian Koberger's alibi will be that the Idaho murder suspect was out driving alone on the night of killings. So we knew, based on his movements, that he had made some degree of effort to make it look like he was not on the scene of the crimes. He had turned off his cell phone, but he had turned off too late. He had already started his path when he turned it off, and he was already back from that place when he turned it back on. So Brian Koberger is the guy who was a student of criminology and who ended up going into a house with a beautiful female student and killed three people, I believe, at least three. Killed the guy that was there, the two girls, you know, these shiny, blonde, cute girls that were killed. And so he was probably a kind of guy who was getting off on the idea of studying criminology and then trying to put it in practice as a serial murderer. So it seems that this is what he's about. Now, he didn't act professionally at all. He left his cell open, opened back his cell phone while on the way back, but in a way that, you know, there's a square map, and he basically cut his phone before he's headed to the destination where he commits the crime, and then he turns his phone back on right here. So we have cameras locating him close to the murders, his car. We have him getting there before with his cell phone, and then getting out of there after with his cell phone. It's very solid evidence that he was there. Not to mention the DNA on the murder weapon, the leaving the sheath of the knife behind. An absolute amateur here. I don't know what happened in his head, especially since he was studying criminology and he was a specialist. He had written some special thesis on data, big data, and its contribution to criminology. it's like, yeah, big data, you mean like the cell phone towers? Like they can locate you. They won't know exactly where you are, like a GPS, but they'll know which tower you've been connecting to. That's already a lot of information. And add to this all of the cameras that are everywhere. They can trace the whereabouts of anyone they want. As I explained when I did the analysis on those murders, today, to get away with murder, you need an electronic alibi. You need to be able to make it look like you were still home, still activating your computer through human interactions. You basically need a human emulator. You need macro recorders. You need, you know, whole human-like clicking experience, refreshing your websites that you would normally refresh. You need basically a robot hand to simulate phone use, simulate cell phone use, and more. You need to emulate your full human activity in your house. Firestarter says, should have used those InfoWars cell phone shields. No, even that. I mean, you really need to leave the cell phone home and activate it through normal human activations. Anyways, I don't think that this... It looks like he's going for the defense that he was going to go with from the beginning. It looks like everything that he's done in his driving was for the purpose of putting together that defense. Oh, I may have been around the murders, but I was just driving. Combine this with the sheet of the knife left behind with DNA. That doesn't work. That just doesn't work. I'm having allergies in my nose. Jim Kunstler fears civic upheaval from a final desperate diversion by our lawless, faithless, clueless government. There is only one way to explain this shambles. Every one of these crises traces back to the Democrat Party's obsession with taking and holding power more or less indefinitely to suit its hubristic end of history narrative of righteous liberal triumph. That silence you hear these dark days of a wilting empire is the calm before the storm, and everybody knows it. I agree with this analysis. They talk about the oppression of Trump, the oppression, the legal persecution of Trump. I agree with this analysis. We may be in a calm period before a ultimate war of totalitarianism takes over America. Stephen Robinson says, would he have been informed of the evidence against him at this point? Lol. Yeah, he's kind of acting like the evidence doesn't exist, but sometimes they are very stubborn. They look at Jussie Smollett. Jussie Smollett, give me 10 seconds. I'll go get my allergy pills. It's going to lead to a better show. I'm going to take a 10 seconds break. I'll be back. All right. Very often, these criminals who got into a crime that they thought they would get away with are surprisingly stubborn in face of new evidence, and they think for way too long that they're going to get away with it. We see that in Koberger. We saw it in Jussie Smollett. Jussie Smollett had a whole plan of going to cry on national television, but he was not smart enough to see, as his case was developing, that there was way too much evidence against him, that it was becoming very clear that he organized this whole acting performance to make a fake hate crime against himself. And yet he still went, despite the evidence and despite the whole nation was laughing their ass off at the ridicule of his thing, he still went on national TV saying, "I fucking fought back. I fought the fuck back." That's what I want young people to retain. I fought the fuck back. And it's like, to have the level of narcissism to believe that this will get you out of what everyone can see. Like, you are the ridicule of the nation. Everyone knows what you've done. And Jan sends $100 and he says it's a test. Well, that's a pleasant test. You know, don't hesitate to send me $100 test like this. I always appreciate. But your test worked. Real Base Talk says, test my channel with that. Enjoy your new future Blizzard policies for Diablo, Overwatch and more, and the Microsoft acquisition. Minecraft apparently has been bought by Microsoft, and I knew because I had a Minecraft account. I had bought a lifetime Minecraft subscription back in the days. And Minecraft used to be that very special thing. Very independent. But under the care of Microsoft, it can only become cocked. Servers with player queues such as 2B2T are now banned. Any server, piece of online content such as video or other may be taken down due to any reason whatsoever. Using Minecraft in the title as a significant part of a creative work, such as a YouTube video, is now banned. Servers with any content not suitable for 10 years olds are now prohibited. They also proceed to state that they are now allowed to change the guidelines and that it's your responsibility to check them, which is illegal under European law. All servers need to add a not an official Minecraft product and a terms of service clause upon joining for the first time. In-person Minecraft events cannot be marketed using Minecraft assets such as logos or fonts. They are trying to protect the brand, but by taking this brand so seriously and by trying to chain it so much, they are basically, they are not allowing the brand to breathe. What was fun about Minecraft is that children could identify with that brand. Adults, edgy people could identify with that brand. Minecraft was the symbol of everything being possible. And it became a property of Microsoft now. And I predict that we won't have a next generation of people who have respect for Minecraft. In fact, here's my statement. We need a new Minecraft. We need a blockchain-based Minecraft that will be a collective work of the whole of humanity into a 3D space of mining and adventure and creative construction. To get away from the Microsoft control that was just imposed. U.S. Navy sailors are caught spying for China, accused of handing over Indo-Pacific exercise secrets. Two U.S. Navy sailors have been arrested for passing classified or sensitive material to China. Well, the only thing I'm interested in is, what was their name? Jin Chao Wei. A 22-year-old sailor was arrested on espionage-related charges, specifically conspiracy to provide national defense information to Chinese official. And in a separate case, 26-year-old Wenhan Zhao was also charged over allegations. I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised. At some point, the belonging to your country, belonging to your nation, eventually takes over any loyalty you may have for your employer. And that is a consequence of multicultural society. We want to give equal treatment to everyone. That gives access to our army equally to everyone. And not every spy you will know in advance that they are spies. Some spies will be solicited after the fact. So no matter how much background checks you want to do, some of them will pass the background check because they've not been a spy yet. And yet you get them in your army and they reveal secrets. Andrew Tate released from house arrest over sex trafficking charges. The Court of Appeal has decided that the house arrest measure was too severe. They replaced the house arrest measure with that of judicial control for a period of 60 days from August 4 until October 2. That's a good decision. I've always thought that, and I've always said here that I found his case to be very persecutory, very seemingly aimed at just keeping him in jail without much serious allegation in the prosecution. Although Andrew Tate is an asshole by other standards, I don't think that what they have in their current case is solid enough to warrant arrest or to warrant even a trial. So I think that it's good, but it's just a win at the level of the arrest itself. He still has to stay in the city. And he has to ask the judge permission if he wants to get out of the city. Spindly Opinion says, I'm surprised Tate hasn't tried to flee to Dubai or somewhere without an extradition arrangement to the West. That may be his chance to flee, but perhaps he doesn't want to flee. You know, some people decide to go through the process. Some people decide to flee. We'll see what he does. Meta was hit with a trifecta of fails. The metaverse. I agree, total fail. Smart glasses. I agree, total fail. And Threads. Now, the social media has already lost 80% of its daily active users. Because everyone is willing to say that they want friendship, they want a friendly social media place. They want one place where they will be less subject to critical review. But no one is interested in that content. So it's what, you know, sometimes the sentences of human beings are not coherent with their behavior. Sometimes a woman will say, I don't like this guy. And the next hour, she's going to be willing to get fucked by him. The words of human beings are not to be trusted. They are not a good market analysis. And that's the great problem with Threads. They have tried to position themselves as there's going to be much less hate speech here. It's going to be so much more family friendly. No one wants to get in on a written social media like this. It may have worked with Facebook because you had pictures and people basically use Facebook as their private family group for their extended family. but it won't work with a written media because it's just not worth it. Just the people who are not conflictual don't have things to discuss that are interesting enough to attract millions of people. Ramaswamy wins a lawsuit against the World Economic Forum after being labeled a young global leader. Republican Vivek Ramaswamy has recorded a victory against the World Economic Forum in court after the globalist organization named him one of their young global leaders against his will. Wow. That is interesting. So you can reject a compliment. Like, I've been wondering, like, if I was to talk positively about a product like Diet Pepsi, eventually there is a point at which even if I say just positive stuff about Diet Pepsi, at some point Diet Pepsi could say, well, JF saying positive stuff about us is actually negative for us. So they could argue that there's a form of defamation here. Ramaswamy, who is running a presidential campaign, explained that he explicitly rejected their ridiculous award 2 years ago and that Klaus Schwab's outfit repeatedly failed to remove my name despite escalating demands. So I sued them and we just succeeded. That is funny. So he got an award. He says, I don't want any of this award. But they still put him on the website for some reason. That is very interesting. Coinbase seeks to dismiss the SEC lawsuit, arguing that it doesn't trade securities. Coinbase has asked a judge to end the SEC's frivolous lawsuit, accusing the world's largest publicly traded cryptocurrency exchange of violating federal securities law. In a filing in federal court in Manhattan, Coinbase said the SEC had violated due process, abused its discretion, and abandoned its own earlier interpretations of the security laws in asserting certain regulatory authority over the crypto exchange, and that it had no authority to pursue its lawsuit because the digital assets and services it objected to did not qualify as securities. So you can see that they're trying to build upon a previous decision of a judge who had said ETH on its own wouldn't be a security, but having a token like ETH and selling it the way you did it makes it a security. I think that Coinbase have a very good argument. And I think that if they can get this decision, complete dismissal right away, it would set a safe space for crypto in the sense that people would know, all right, so the people who are truly at subject of being accused of securities violation are the people who make the crypto, people like Richard Hart. Or if I was to make a JF coin, they could target me. But the exchanges have nothing to do with the success of the crypto itself. They're merely agents of trading and passing, selling and buying, and they should not be sued by the SEC. Now, there were still subtleties that the SEC was saying that it was by allowing the transaction of 12 different tokens that the Coinbase was making themselves security traders. Now, are these tokens securities in and of themselves, or what's wrong with them is securities? Is the fact that when they are promoted alongside a given platform where they were born, they are being used as a security, that is, they are being used as a form of investment of confidence in a given collective work. That is the fundamental question at play. And a last news item for tonight. We have short shows these days. but it's because I've been super tired and I've been recovering from my traveling and vacation. We might get back to longer shows, but I needed a couple of relatively short shows to recover properly. Amazon makes a sweeping overhaul of grocery business to compete with Walmart and Kroger. Amazon is taking more strides in the world of grocery, launching the biggest overhaul of that part of its business since it bought Whole Foods. The details of its new overhaul include revamping stores, testing new highly automated warehouses, and for the first time, offering fresh food delivery to customers who aren't Prime customers. I'm excited about any contribution to the distribution space, but Walmart is still the best out there. I'm afraid that Amazon, by having bought Whole Foods, I'm afraid that they will remain a hipster-oriented, more costly place. If you cannot beat Walmart by the price, I'm not interested. The only thing that I'm interested in the world of distribution is the final price for the quantity I get. That is what I'm looking at. So right now, Walmart is dominating, and rightfully so, because they bring the best price still. They kind of went up on certain things. They kind of get close to the normie grocery stores, but they're still the best. I don't think that Amazon can get there. I think they're way too out there with their automation dreams. It's like, it's a good dream. But if you pay so high of a price for your automation material, it's going to take a long time before it pays off. Personally, I'm not going there as long as the Apple isn't cheaper than the one I can get at Walmart. Joel Surrett says, one day Walmart will pull the rug from our feet. Careful, man. Oh, that can happen. It can happen when these corporations end up dominating. They use their monopoly status and they increase the prices. But we're not there. I mean, Walmart still have fierce competition in all these higher class places that you can go to buy food. So I'm not worried that we're at that point where Walmart has superpower of raising prices. In fact, when you look at food distribution, it might be one of the domains in which there is a relatively fair competition going on an intergenerational time, you know? There's always been the mom and dad, mom and pop's little grocery stores, the bigger stores. There's always been hipster stores and more low-price stores. And now we have big stores like Walmart. I think that the world of food distribution is in a healthy, economic, competitive environment. And I like it. That is it for tonight, boys. I don't even have voice anymore. So it can't go on. Much love. Maybe one day AI Jeff can do 24-hour long shows.